There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
No, you're heat up the flunken from last night.
Or hilarious.
Or will you pick up my sweater at the cleaners?
We can make it stupid.
This is not a beagle. This is my wife.
Or moronic.
Hello. Hello, are you? Is that, is that the record company?
We can even make it repetitive.
This is not a beagle. This is my wife.
Or moronic.
Hello. Hello, are you? Is that, is that the record company?
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want.
Gosh. I enjoy being stabbed. Ooh.
Because this is the National Lampoon Radio Hour. This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't obey the traffic laws in your community. They were created by a group of bureaucrats who couldn't possibly know the size of your car, how fast you like to drive, or what kind of appointments you need to make during the day.
The Megaphone Newsreel marches around the world, across the seven seas, and right into your face. Rio de Janeiro and thousands of cheering Brazilians pour onto the torchlit runway at Ascension Field to welcome home daredevil aviator Hector Garcia Vega McNally from his record-smashing non-stop round-the-continent flight. Banners wave and lovely senoritas smile as Brazil welcomes home her newest hero. But no sooner has the tiny monoplane rolled to a stop before our Megaphone newsreel cameras than panic erupts among the crowd as jubilant well-wishers discover that the plane is not McNally's, but a visiting ship on a routine flight from Venezuela. Our Megaphone newsreel camera records the hysteria as triumph turns to tragedy at Ascension Field, Brazil. 15 persons, including the luckless Venezuelan pilot, pay with their lives in a case of mistaken identity. High spirits mixed with high-octane fuel down South America way. Hollywood, California, where lovely film star Nita Olay shows perfect form as she tees off in the annual Celebrity Miniature Golf Tournament, attracting many of the movie capital's brightest names on behalf of the Panama Headache Relief Fund, a veritable panorama of the screen's most familiar faces, taking time out for fun and a worthy cause. The final hole, and Anita Olay misses a 2-inch putt to finish far down the star-studded field. Lovely Nita Olay loses the Celebrity Miniature Golf Tournament, but she wins an even bigger prize, as after the tournament, she announces her engagement to her caddy. Wedding bells soon to chime for lovely Hollywood star Nita Olay. Chicago and modern food preparation technology on the march. Here in the kitchen of the world-famous Flatstone Hotel, skilled chefs admire the new automatic sandwich-making machine. Faster, more hygienic, more efficient than any pair of human hands. 4,000 sandwiches per minute will roll off this germ-free ramp and into the mouths of hotel guests, cutting preparation time by as much as 5,000%. And even this little Moffat gives her seal of approval. Delicious sandwiches, automatically. Modern food preparation technology on the march in Chicago. Scotland and the historic River Clyde, where Britain's beloved Dowager Princess Agnes waves to our Megaphone newsreel cameras as she arrives to christen the 99-ton ocean monster SS Misanthropic.
6 long years of shipbuilding preparation go down the drain as Princess Agnes cuts the ribbon and the SS Misanthropic refuses to budge. But our megaphone newsreel cameras capture the moment as Princess Agnes loses her footing and topples 200 feet into the water below. A mighty ship stays locked in place, but a British princess is launched in another historic moment on Scotland's famed River Clyde. Muncie, Indiana. And here at a modern government experimental farm, scientists display the world's largest cabbage. Weight, 4,000 pounds. Size, larger than a railway boxcar. And enough cabbage to feed every man, woman, and child in North and South America a 6-pound portion. A triumph of agricultural technique and a token of America's farming cornucopia. Science salutes the world's largest cabbage. Sports. Here in beautiful Piper's Gardens, Florida, a flotilla of waterborne maidens go through their graceful paces in the World Water Roller Skating Championships. At speeds of up to 5 miles per hour, the beauteous contestants whirl around the challenging course in perfect precision. A ballet of balance and skill that can produce sudden disaster. But fun is the rule when the girls put on their roller skates and vie for fame and fortune in beautiful Cypress Gardens, Florida. The megaphone newsreel marches around the world, across the seven seas, and right into your face.
The National Lampoon Radio Hour presents Your Robbery of the Air.
Okay, listeners, this is a stick-up. You heard me right, I said a stick-up. You reach for that tuning dial, and I'll plug you.
Come on, hurry, Charlie. They got the volume control too high. Somebody might hear.
Look, let me handle this, Kamal. Okay, out there, you listen to me. Do what I say, and maybe you'll get through this show alive. All right, now the men first. All right, fellas, take your wallets out. That's right, I said your wallets. Now make it fast. Take out the money and the credit cards. You can keep the driver's license and crap. All right? Or take off your watches. Yeah, you heard me. I said your watches. Put them watches right beside the money. Good. Real good. You just keep following my instructions real nice-like, and maybe I'll keep my trigger finger still.
Hey, Charlie, talk lower. Those neighbors are always complaining about how loud they play the radio. What if they call the police again?
Look, did I tell you to let me handle this?
Oh, come on, Charlie.
Okay, now it's time for the ladies. Okay, empty your pocketbooks. I said empty your pocketbooks! That's better. Now them watches, gals. And all that pretty jewelry and them rings. Don't forget them rings. Good. Good. Now put it all in one big pile. The men's stuff, too. That's the way. One nice big pile. Now get a box. A shoebox or something, but make it fast. Okay, put everything in the box. Don't try to leave nothing out. I'll tie it up with string. So you don't have any string, find some. And address it to
Robbery of the Air, National Lampoon Radio Hour, 635 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10022. That's Robbery of the Air, National Lampoon Radio Hour, 635 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
What are you doing? Come on.
Now mark it special delivery and put every stamp you have in the front and place it in your pile of outgoing mail. Remember, no funny stuff now, because my trigger finger has a mosquito bite, and I just love an excuse to scratch it. Okay, now I want you to count to 60, real slow-like. And any of you makes a move before 60, we come back and plug the whole stinking lot of you, you understand?
I'm worried, Charlie. They're hearing our voices now. Maybe we should take care of them anyway, huh?
Are you crazy? Robbery is one thing, but a murder rap is something else. Come on. Let's get off the air while we can.
Nagasaki, the art of Japanese body arrangement.
I'm going to preach y'all a sermon about old man Adam. That's me. I don't mean the Adam in the Bible, Adam. I don't mean the Adam that Mother Eve elated. I mean the thing that science liberated. The thing that Einstein says he's scared of. And when Einstein's scared, brother, you'd better be scared. If you're scared of the atom, here's what you got to do. You got to gather all the people in the world with you, because if you don't get together and do it, well, first thing you know, I'm going to blow this world plumb, too.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo,
Bikini. Now, life used to be such a simple joy. My cyclotron was just a super toy, and folks got born, they'd work and marry, and atom was a word in the dictionary, and then it happened. The science boys from every clime, they all pitched in with overtime, and before they knew it, the thing was done, and they'd hitched up the power of the God-earned sun and put a harness on old Sol, splitting atoms while the diplomats were splitting hairs.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini.
But the atoms here, in spite of hysteria, flourishes in Utah as well as Siberia. And whether you're a black, white, red, or brown, the question is this when you boil it down. To be or not to be, that's the question. The answer to it all ain't military atom, like who gets there firstest with the mostest atoms. No, the people of the world must decide their fate. They got to get together or disintegrate. I hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men may be cremated equal.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini.
Yes, it's up to the people, cause the atoms don't care. You can't fence me in, I'm just like air. I don't give a hoot about any politics or who got what into whichever fix. All I want to do is sit around and have my nucleus bombarded by neutrons. Now, the moral is this, just as plain as day, that old man Adam is here to stay. I'm going to stick around, and that's for true. But, ah, my dearly beloved, are you? So listen, folks, here is my thesis. Peace in the world, or the world in pieces.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini.
This is a public service announcement. In the event of a nuclear attack, members of the public are instructed to observe the following procedures. Get out of your seat and kneel down on the floor under your desk. Rest your head on your knees and place your linked hands on the back of your neck, shielding your face with your elbows. Keep perfectly quiet. Do not talk or whisper. Those of you who are in the halls when the warning siren goes off should follow the instructions of the student monitor. If there is no student monitor, proceed immediately to your locker. Open your locker and get inside. Refrain from laughing, talking, or whispering. There will be no gum chewing at any time. Remain where you are until a teacher or member of the custodial staff tells you to move. After the second bell is rung, no one will be admitted to the study hall without a pass.
Dr. Einstein, your wife is on the phone.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello, dear. Fine. I have just finished working. I will soon be home. No, just heat up the flunken from last night. That's fine. Oh, will you pick up my schwere at the cleaners? Good. So I'll see you soon. Bye. Oh, by the way, guess what I found out? E equals MC squared.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour presents Great Jokes of History. Here's tonight's joke. The lead-in. A man sees a pretty woman in a bank. He goes up to her and he says, "Pardon me, miss, but your slip is showing." The punchline. She says, "We'll have the punchline for you after this commercial."
This is the National Lampoon Radio Hour
on XM Comedy 150.
Have you thought about trying Viagra but didn't want to go through the hassle of seeing your doctor? Well, now it's as easy as a phone call. You can order the real Viagra by Pfizer for as little as $6 per 50 milligram dose. When you call Quality Lifestyle now, you'll answer some questions about your health, a doctor will review and approve you, and your Viagra will be shipped to your door. It's easy and completely confidential. Call 1-800-929-2699 and order Viagra now, or go to AbsolutePills.com. That's 800-929-2699. 800-929-2699, or go to AbsolutePills.com.
Do you have an excellent memory? No? Well, I can help. Most people don't know that memory is a visual task. The brain must make a picture to have instant recall. So try this to remember a phone number. Right now, imagine the number 877. Make it bright red. Now see the number 68 and make it blue. Now imagine the word happy and make it green like grass. See that number in your mind, 877-68-HAPPY? You'll easily remember to call me and discover an amazing hypnosis CD method that will improve your memory, remove test anxiety, help you remember names and spelling. Listen to the CDs before you study, and you will notice that you stay focused with retention. Put your brain in a relaxed state. Taking tests will get easier. Okay, so remember that number? Do you see the image in your mind? If not, you really need to call me. I'm Wendy Friesen, a clinical hypnotherapist. Call me at 877-68-HAPPY or on the web at wendy.com, W-E-N-D-I.com.
XM Comedy 150 now legally returns you to the National Lampoon radio program.
The situations and characterizations on this show are fictitious. Any transmission, reproduction, or rebroadcast of this show without the express permission of the National Lampoon Radio Hour is prohibited. Theft of comedy material is a crime punishable by not less than 15 years in a federal penitentiary. Good night.
She says... deposit or withdrawal.
Drugola Records.
Could I speak to the president, please?
I'm afraid he isn't here right now. Could I help you?
Can you give him a message?
Certainly. What is the message?
It's about this new out-of-sight group. They're Colombian, and they're tops. He's never heard anything like this before. It's really a mind-blowing experience. The whole group is full of budding talents. Can you tell him that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch the name of the group.
Tell him it's called a Truckload.
Hello, I am Catherine de Trou, the movie star, but I am also a woman. Do not think of me as a movie star, think of me as... but it is ridiculous. How could they think of me as anything other than what I am? A big, big movie star. I am Catherine de Trou, and I have all the animation of, how you say, a lawn chair, but I have one advantage over all the other women. They are just women. I am Catherine de Trou, the movie star, and I am very, very beautiful. The fools, the poor little fools, how they could ever hope to look like me, no matter how much perfume they use. All the perfume in the world will not make you beautiful like me, Catherine de Trou. I am even more beautiful than that skinny tramp Audrey Hepburn, who looks like a boy. That's why that fairy designer likes her so much. And if I keep on doing this long enough, maybe somebody will invent a perfume just for me, Catherine de Trou.
Hello, this is God. You know, it's been no secret to me for some time now how many of you there are who question how it is that in my position I appear over the centuries to continually allow little children to starve by the millions, or one race or another to suffer persecution and genocidal devastation, or countless others to be mercilessly tortured and killed through war and famine and disease or whatnot. Perhaps you yourself know of a relative or a particular friend who seems to have had everything to live for, yet through some incalculable design has lost a limb or been knifed by a Puerto Rican or been stricken with colitis or herpes. How about that squash partner of yours with acne and wens all over his back and chest? Or your own unfortunate luck in missing a bus or catching a hockey puck on the cheekbone while standing up to let another spectator pass by? What about the horror of napalm in a small Cambodian hamlet, or the gratuitous existence of diseases like leprosy, or to stir with love. Now, I don't like these things any more than you do, but you know, frankly, I don't have time to keep track of everything that goes on around me. I've got a whole universe to deal with. The Milky Way, suns, stars, Kahutek, other solar systems, even other forms of life that are a lot worse off than you, believe me. You think you're the only planet around? Are you kidding? There's a planet a couple of billion light years away that's not one-third the size of Earth and has twice as many Chinamen, just as an example. You? You're nothing. You're way back in line. What about the inevitable extinction of other species around you, like the buffalo, or the common liverwort, or the Republicans? Now look, it's not that I don't care, believe me, I do, I really do. But you've got to have a little patience, a little humility, a little faith. So just relax. Keep those cards and letters coming in. Keep praying. Do unto others. Enjoy yourself. Take a holiday. Celebrate Christmas and Easter or the Jewish holidays, okay? Okay. Now, I gotta go. So, au revoir, a bientôt, shalom, hang ten, whatever. We'll talk again. In the meantime, stay away from idols. Gurus, hallucinogens, Chevrolets. These things are only transient escapism. Remember, there's only one God. And when I get the chance, you'll get yours. Trust me. Good night.
You are listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour. This is Gracie Whitebread speaking.
Hi there, and greetings to you. I'm Henry Leffingwell, my show, The Henry Leffingwell Interview. My guest, an exceptionally brainy young man, a very studious person, his name is Harold Lufton. Harold Lufton has just completed a most unusual task. Would you tell us about it, sir?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Mr. Leffingwell.
Call me Hank, sir, please. Everyone else does.
Hank. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have been working for years at this, and I finally have achieved it. I have memorized the New York telephone directory. And it's taken me...
Excuse me, sir. Does that include the yellow pages as well? Is that just the white pages?
No, but that is my goal next. I am going to get the yellow pages down. I've started on those already. And then afterwards, I hope to get the Bronx and Staten Island, all those directories in the suburbs. And so
I see. So then, a fair assessment of your goal is you're going to memorize all of the telephone books in the New York area, as well as the Manhattan directory.
Yes, and that's this area of my life. Hopefully, my life goal is to memorize all the telephone directories in the United States.
All of the telephone books in the continental United States.
Yes, and who knows, if the powers that be allow me, I may get to Europe and so forth.
Yes, if the good Lord is willing, if your health holds out, your eyesight doesn't fail you, you're going to go on even from there until you've memorized all the telephone books in the world. Then would that be a fair assessment of your goals, sir?
Yes, that would be it. And hopefully I've started my young son on some Chinese telephone books.
You've got your family involved as well.
Oh, yes. They're very in favor of this.
You're a slender, youthful-looking person. You have, I see you wear glasses. You have a high forehead, you're very scholarly in your demeanor.
Thank you very much.
It looks to me as though you might just have a chance to complete your appointed task. Now, sir, let me ask you, are you a mentalist?
Oh, no. I just did this through just hard work.
I see. You don't have, then, a trick memory of any sort?
No. This is just I've been doing it since I was 12. I sat down on my first page at 12, and I...
All right, sir. You have this prodigious knowledge. What are you going to do with it? What have you done in the way of trying to use this knowledge that you...
Well, have? I feel that I could be very useful to like a major corporation or anybody that can use me for this particular knowledge. I mean, they wouldn't have to call information or anything. They'd just call me into the room and I would reel off a number to them.
So you could be sort of a freelance information operator, as it were, that sort of service.
Yes, and...
Are you currently performing this service?
Just for my friends, if they have trouble getting the information and so forth, they call me.
And you would like a job, something in this...
I would love a job, and I've tried, and so far with little success, but it's because they don't really see my value yet.
All right. If there's anybody listening who needs a man who has memorized the New York telephone directory, we have him right here on our show for you. He's Mr. Harold Lufton. He's available for work. He's ready, willing, and able to start.
Yes, I'll in the morning. I'll do a full day's work, too.
All right, sir. Just why did you choose such an unusual task for yourself?
Well, I suppose, like the people who climbed Mount Everest, because it was there.
Because it was there.
Yes, and I'm hoping now, of course, that I can use this to get a job. If I can't, then I'm going to be going on the amateur hour.
Oh, you'll go into show business.
Yes, I have an act.
I say, what do you do then? You recite telephone numbers? You answer questions about...
No, I have a musical bent, so I'm going to recite telephone numbers to Tifa, too.
That's interesting indeed. Will you have somebody accompany you?
Yes, a pianist doing Tifa, too.
Well, would you care to give us a little demonstration now?
I don't know. Well, yeah, okay.
All right, sure. We don't have a pianist, so if you don't mind, then I will hum along with you.
Okay, fine.
All
go
right.
ahead.
Okay.
Right.
Are you ready, sir?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Da, da.
From New York City, where a diamond-hard surface of glitter and froth hides a pulsing miasma of heartbreak and shame. From New York City, where armed debutantes hold the middle classes at bay. From New York City, where trust is just a name on a bank, comes the man who can't keep a secret, Mr. Chatterbox, and his gossip report to the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mr. Chatterbox reporting to you from the frontiers of fashion. Between you, me, and the lamppost, and 30 million listeners, the vogue for little metal spiders is really catching on. Mrs. Wyatt Cooper floats them in consomme, hides them in the pate, throws them at dinner guests when they get fresh. Poor Elfie Summer wears a baker's dozen on her fingertips to cover her poor, ravaged cuticles. I shouldn't have told you that, but Mr. Chatterbox can't keep a secret. Horace Havell, producer of Broadway hit A Little Night Tundra, says the big white way is dying because there isn't enough violence on TV. Popular purist, the Marchioness of Hemp, is decorating her Sutton Place apartment in yards and yards of tundra. Fabulous tundra is the material that stays semi-frozen all year long, sends up tiny little flowers in the spring. It costs a small fortune, can be tough on the parquet, but it's a welcome change from those stupid Tibetan rugs, says the Marchioness of Hemp. Entertaining your parents. Yes, your mother and father is the latest Gotham giggle. Mr. Chatterbox couldn't like it more. Jackie Suzanne takes her popular mom Tootsie to lunch at the Taft, orders up the storm, then sticks mom with the bill. Couldn't like it more. Wayne Newton dresses his cooperative dad all in red, takes him to breakfast interviews to add the human dimension. It's nice to see warm human feelings back in fashion, don't you think? Or don't you? It's no use taking your questions to popular philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein. He's as dead as a doornail. This is Mr. Chatterbox signing off till next time. Remember to urge your congressman to put some teeth in fashion law. And you, Ethel Kennedy, you watch your step. Mr. Chatterbox knows what you're up to, don't you think? Or don't you?
Yes, young man, can I help you?
Hey, man, are you the man who rents the bread?
I am authorized to arrange loans, yes, sir.
Oh, you're an actual loan ranger, man, huh? But you ain't got a mask or anything.
Sir, perhaps you could tell me what we can do for you.
Well, Mr. Lone Ranger, I want to hire your silver.
Sir, could I have your name, please?
My name is Roland Vicarelli.
Vicarelli, that's the...
Yeah. My friends call me Space Captain, though.
V-I?
V-I-C. Well, just call me Space Captain if you want.
Oh, Mr. Space.
All right.
I'll give you the card. Mr. Space. Now,
yeah.
What amount exactly did you want to borrow?
Oh, wow, man, your shoes. Hey, did your old lady put those little holes in your toes?
Sir, my mother passed away some years ago. Now, how much did you want to borrow?
Well, how much you got? I don't know, like a million, a billion.
Sir.
I don't know. Look, why don't you give me a bunch of 50s? I'll put them in my backpack.
Sir.
Hey, man, far out.
What?
Hey, the picture on your desk, man. Are you into dogs? My old lady raises beagles, man. I figured you were a Scorpio. My old lady's one, too. You should come over and see the puppy sometime.
Sir, this is not a beagle. This is my wife.
Oh, wow.
Now, could I have your occupation, please?
Yeah, well, I'm self-employed, you might say.
Self-employed as what, sir?
Oh, well, like me and my old lady, we were into this leather shop with some other freaks from L.A. for a while. But everybody got into this thing where some of us would make the sandals, and some of us would sell the sandals, some of us would wear them, and then we'd share the profits. And then our sales manager gave the rent to the guru, gave all our rent to his guru. Then the pigs from the health department busted our house, and we went to Mexico and rented a Federale. It really came down.
Sir, perhaps you don't understand. I'm asking, what do you do now for a living?
Well, I'm an importer.
An importer of what?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever's around.
You import whatever's around.
Yeah, you know, somebody knows somebody who knows a guy who's got something, you know, and say, you got a light, brother?
Well, certainly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Here, have a hit.
Oh, no, thank you. I don't smoke.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, this is really outrageous. Mongolian, man. Just one hit. Come on.
You want to get arrested? Besides, don't you understand that you can suffer severe brain damage?
Oh, no, man. Listen, man, I've been smoking since I was 19, man.
How old are you now?
18. Hey, let me use that rose clip on your tie, okay?
Are you insane? This is a bank. I don't want to die of a flashback. I have puppies. I mean children.
Hey, it's an outrageous rose clip, man. It's got a little slide rule on it, numbers and everything.
Stop offering me that thing. You want me to commit a cult murder or something?
Come on, man. What's the matter, man? Chicken? Huh?
Me? Chicken?
Yeah, you know.
I am not chicken. Give me that thing. Give it.
All right, now inhale it, man. Just let it go. Right, down your throat. Right down. Good. Okay, now hold it in. Hold it in. Hey, you're a Scorpio, right?
But no, as a matter of fact, I'm from Indiana. You know.
Hey, look. Look, like I was saying, you know, if you front me the price of a used microbus, you say 100,000 pesos... two or three runs, I can get a whole fleet of Land Rovers. And then I can get the dudes from the sandal shop out on bail and get them on the route, you know. Man, pretty soon we'll be able to get a used submarine, maybe a fighter escort. And, yeah, maybe battleships and everything. And what's so funny?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but it suddenly occurred to me that this whole situation was somehow irrelevant to another, perhaps higher level of reality. I mean, if you look at it properly, it's all a game of Monopoly anyway.
Hey, knock it off, man. This is serious. This is no game, man.
All this concern, you know, over power trips, I mean, role-playing, this characteristically Western obsession with money.
I'm not talking about money, man. I'm talking about Colombian, man. Tons of Colombian weed,
man. Don't you think that you should stop your obsession with material possessions?
I'm not going to stop my obsession with anything, man.
May I call brother?
Get off the floor, man. Just get off the floor. Just stay away from me, man.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour presents Limerick Time, a special feature giving you the chance to re-listen to your favorite limericks and perhaps even pick up one you missed. Tonight's limerick is, "There was an old man from Peru who fell madly in love with his shoe. He said that its laces his pulse sent in races." We'll have the final line of tonight's limerick after this commercial.
Bigger than Art Deco, bigger than Black Power, it's the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Rejoining you as we speak on XM Comedy 150.
The following is a message from the American Safety Institute. Report any dogs you see who have foam around their mouths or appear to be behaving strangely. They may be mad dogs.
Their erratic gait makes them a serious hazard to old people, who can easily trip over these bothersome animals and suffer serious injuries. Remember, don't be a careless person. Be a care more person.
But oh, what its tongue could do.
Drugola Records.
Hello. Hello. Is that, is that the record company?
Yes, it is.
Let me speak to the president, baby. Hello? Hello?
Oh, the president is not in at the moment. May I take a message?
Listen, I gotta speak to, the president of the company, you know?
Well, he should be back from lunch shortly. Just what was it in reference to?
Oh, yeah, in reference to, yeah, man, right. I can take it. Listen, tell him I have, a new group for him, they come from Panama, you know, and they're all redheads, you know, they have red hair, you know, babies. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
They sing very, very high. Very, very high up. They can all the high notes, you know, really. Dynamite sound. Hey, they can sing in many ways that he wants to, you know, all the keys and everything. Tell him that if he wants to have a hit, you know, then this is the groove for him to, hello?
Oh, would you care to leave your name and number so that the president can call you back, Mr.
Mr. Friend, just tell him Frank called you.
Well, here we are in Recipe Corner once again with a correction to last week's recipe for tuna loaf. We should have said 3 tablespoons of minced parsley, not 13. We're truly sorry.
It's your puzzle page of the air, a special feature of the National Lampoon Radio Hour. Get your pads and pencils ready, because our first puzzle this evening is Count the Mistakes. In the short skit you will hear next, we've deliberately made 76 different radio mistakes. Some are easy to spot, but we warn you, some are very hard. There'll be a big prize for the listener who can spot the most. So get ready, listen carefully, and write down every mistake as soon as you hear it.
Honey, I'm home.
Be right out. I'm cooking dinner.
Smells good. What are we having?
Broiled egg crates.
Mmm, that's my favorite.
Have a good day at the office, dear.
Very good. I lost 3 major contracts, and I was fired. Listen.
To what?
There's an airplane going by.
Oh, yes, and it sounded just like a 647. Oh, honey, there goes the baby again. Will you sing him a lullaby?
Sure. Lullaby and good day. Oh, there's the doorbell. I'll get it. Who are you?
I'm the Avon lady.
Well, we want to buy a lot, so get out of here. Anything important come in the mail?
See for yourself.
Why, here's the electric bill. Let me see. We used 616 kilowatt hours, and at 67 cents per kilowatt hour, that comes to $412.19. We shouldn't really try to cut down.
Soup's off.
Hey, candlelight tonight, huh?
There's something special I want to talk to you about.
Mmm, this crabgrass sure does taste good. It reminds me of that old adage I learned way back in grade school, that 1 + 1 = 3.
Oh, it's so nice to hear the sun shining for a change.
It sure is. Now, honey, what was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Why are you laughing?
I just realized I forgot to put on my clothes this morning. I've been going around stark naked all day. Well, when it comes to mistakes, I sure can make some beauts.
Harry, I thought this would be easier to say over candlelight and roses, but I'm leaving you. I'm running away with the milkwoman. Well, don't just sit there with your feet on the ceiling. Say something. Is that all you have to say?
I'm 6'2". I have blue eyes. And my right arm is slightly longer than my left.
I want you to know that I'm doing this because I'm madly in love with the mailman. And I want to be her husband more than anything else in the whole wide pencil.
This comes as quite a shock to me, Agnes.
I knew it would be, Charles.
That reminds me, Louise. What's the normal household voltage in America?
Why, Sammy, it's 62 volts, of course.
in a steady-state sine wave of 42 cycles per second.
Connie, how could you do this to me after all these years of marriage?
Don't make things difficult for us, Leroy. You can have custody of the horses.
No, Margaret, no. I love you too much, and I won't let it happen. You can't go through with this.
That knife. What are you going to do?
Instead of letting the mail woman get you, I'd rather have you alive.
No, don't. I beg you. No. Hey. Oh, that feels good. Oh, gosh. I enjoy being stabbed. Ooh. Oh, listen. The baby's home again. Isn't it your turn to take it for a walk?
Okay, but remember, Alaska is east of Pakistan.
Good night, darling. I love you.
Good night, darling. I hate you, too.
How many mistakes did you catch? Write down as many as you could and send your list to us, postmarked no later than midnight tonight. To start you off, we'll give you this hint. The first mistake was when we said there would be a prize.
Look at him, look at her, sparking down the street. Who was him, who was her, she looks mighty sweet. That's the boy who killed three men, hush up for goodness sake. He's that shooting, stabbing, smiling, most notorious Colonel Blake. Look, miss, there goes Colonel Blake. Colonel Blake, that's a big mistake. He shot seven men and threw their bodies in the lake. He's that laughing, sneering, snarling fiend, notorious Colonel Blake. Look at him, look at her, I remember when. In a fight, he destroyed 27 men. Shot 700 with his gun for that young lady's sake. He's that death-defying killer, most notorious Colonel Blake. Hats off, there goes Colonel Blake. That's him, darling, you must keep awake. He stabbed 7,000 men, you couldn't stab a cake. He's that shooting, stabbing, smiling, most notorious Colonel Blake.
This is the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
We're honored to have here today in our studio for an interview consumer advocate Ralph Nader. Welcome, Ralph. And you can put your laundry right over there and your lunchbox. That's fine. That'll be fine right there. And that armful of papers. Would you let me okay, wherever you want. Well, Ralph, it's certainly good to see you, fella.
Hey, wait. Don't throw that old army overcoat away. It's the only one I've got. Thank you. It's good to be here. It will help inform suspicious Americans about the way they're being robbed and swindled at every turn.
And I should say that Ralph is donating his fee for this program to...
How much did this microphone cost you?
I beg your pardon?
This microphone. How much do you have to pay for it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know. I just...
Well, you see right there. That's one of the problems right there. People don't pay enough attention to how they spend their money.
Well, that's a point I never even considered, Ralph. Oh, it's a good one, too.
As a matter of fact, right here in my pocket, I have... No, wait. That's the report on underweight lollipops. And this is the study we're doing on the Scotch tape monopoly. Here it is.
Oh, well, something that...
Can't read my own handwriting. See, even I'm a victim of our two-bit educational system.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They didn't even teach me how to write properly. Three out of four teachers in this country are medically blind. I don't think many people in your audience realize this.
Wow. No, I didn't. How do you... Now, let me ask. How do you find out things like that?
We have our ways, and we have a constitutional right not to divulge them. If everybody in this country would refuse to divulge their sources, we'd be making real progress.
Oh, Ralph, I notice you're not wearing any shoes. Now, I think that is remarkable that Ralph Nader isn't wearing shoes. Could you tell us something about what cause this would symbolize, Ralph? I mean, to go shoeless.
I'll be glad to. My shoes wore out, oh, golly, it must have been 6 months ago, and I just haven't had time to go out and get another pair.
They wore out, and you just...
I'm very busy, you know, and I only make $36 a week.
Only $36? Oh, that is incredible. I had no idea that you only make...
And I get paid in cash. No banks. Did you know the banks in this country own half the coffee crop in Brazil?
Well, no, as a matter of fact,
half the coffee crop in Brazil. That's why the price of coffee is so high.
Oh, you don't use banks, you say?
Of course not. And I don't drink coffee because of the poison.
The poison?
See? Advertising has hoodwinked you, too. Advertising is responsible for one out of every three traffic fatalities in the state of Oregon.
Now, I find that difficult to believe.
There's a lot of dedicated people working very hard to dig up the facts, that's all. It's very encouraging to have them on my staff.
Those dedicated young people found that fact out about advertising causing traffic deaths?
Right. Well, no. In that case, I read it in the paper. But, for example, let me give you an example. Can I give you an example?
Please, please give us an example.
Well, there are literally hundreds of examples.
And do you...
Do you have something to... a bun, a sandwich, maybe an orange? I haven't had anything to eat in 5 days.
Nothing to eat in five...
I only make $35 a week. Can you live on $35 a week these days?
Well, we'll see what we can find. Eddie, would you please... Oh, thanks, Eddie. And now, Ralph Nader, I'd like to get back to
the good old days. You can't go back. You know, the movies have been criminal about this, about fostering the idea that the good old days were better than right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our study group found that from 1930 to 1940, the number of smiles in Hollywood movies averaged, I say, 15.3 per movie.
Ooh.
But from 1940 to 1950, the number of smiles went up to 45.9 per movie. Now, you tell me.
Tell you what?
Right. So we're starting a movement to give the movies back, to nationalize the movies. Why should people become movie stars behind closed doors? It's one of the most undemocratic things about this country.
You plan to make movie stars out of everybody?
Right. The favoritism's got to end. Beauty, charm, that stuff, it has nothing to do with morality.
Ralph, I notice, well, if I can get personal for just a minute.
Why not? I've got nothing to hide.
Well, your tie. Your tie looks...
Look, painted on my shirt. That's right. I painted this on my shirt, or some of my staff did. They're really terrific young people, and some of them have a lot of real talent, as you can see right here.
That is one of the most incredible sights I think I've ever seen.
And if you look, can you get a good look at this? My shirt is painted right here, right on my body.
God, he's right. His shirt is just painted on.
But those things aren't important. Is the food coming soon? Those things aren't nearly as important as what's really wrong with this country.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Ralph Nader, ladies and gentlemen, but our time is up. We have to end our fascinating conversation with the consumer advocate, Ralph Nader. Maybe Ralph will come back soon for another visit.
A cigarette butt. Is this your cigarette butt?
Yes, I just put it out a minute ago. Is there something wrong with it?
This is a very expensive brand, sold at a tremendous markup. Smokers each year spend something on the order of 52% of their money to pay for sheer profit by the manufacturers. That's just got to stop.
Oh, well, I am certainly glad to know that, Ralph.
I'll keep this cigarette butt.
Go right ahead.
Got a light?
Sure. Here. There you go, dear.
Thanks.
There.
Now, give me back. That's my pencil you took. Give it back.
I know.
Nobody's going to rip off Ralph Nader. I want that pencil. Come on. It cost me to somebody on my staff
Ralph,
10 cents
Ralph,
to buy.
Ralph,
I only
that is my
$34 a week to hand over.
Not my
hand over
Ralph.
That pencil. I want that pencil.
Dragola Records.
Give me the president.
Oh, he's out of town at the moment. Perhaps I can help you.
I'm handling a new group right now, you know. It's called The Shipment, you know. They just came over from England, you know, and right now they've got about 200 pounds. That's all they've got to live on, you know, 200 pounds. So they need to find someone who's into, you know, that kind of music, you know, very heavy, you know. You could tell your president that he only has to listen to one number, you know. It'll give him a very, very high opinion of the group, you know.
As soon as he gets back from the preliminary congressional hearings, I'll let him know that you called, sir.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour presents Classic Riddles. Tonight's riddle has what some would call a surprise ending. But if you really know your humor, you should be able to guess it anyway. Here it is. What can you pick up in any bar, put to your lips, whisper softly to, go as far as you want with, and still charges only 10 cents for the first 3 minutes? The payphone.
Hi, it's just me, Karine Calve, back to personally thank the contributors to tonight's National Lampoon Radio Hour, who were, in alphabetical order, Michael O'Donoghue, Bob Tischler, John Belushi, Henry Beard, Ann Beats, Polly Beer, Pat Bright, Chevy Chase, George Cole, Wendy Craig, Sidney Davis, Bob Dryden, Paul Ginsberg, Gary Goodrow, Ellen Gross, Christopher Guest, Janice Hurst, Judy Jacqueline, Douglas Kenny, Bruce McCall, Brian McConaughey, Bob Michelson, Bob Perry, Emily Prager, Stan Sawyer, Ed Sabitsky, Vernon Taft, George W.S. Trow, and her nibs, Miss Gracie Whitebread. From the 1935 Rodgers and Hart musical, Mississippi, Hats Off, Colonel Blake, performed by Richard Rodgers, and Old Man Adams, sung by the Sons of the Pioneers. Of course, the situations portrayed on this show were fictitious, as were the characterizations. Next week, we'll be taking a long, hard look at sleazy radio shows hosted by irritable people who've been up all night and are so sick and tired of doing the closings that they just throw in the first dumb, pointless joke that occurs to them, such as defining honorable discharge as how the Japanese address their collapse symptoms. And we'll be playing the entire score from the Thomas Crown Affair, so it promises to be pretty exciting. Until then, consider that most of the Jews Hitler killed would be dead by now anyway, or very old and sick. What has it been, 35, 40 years? So, you know... Things are beginning to even out.
Honk, honk, whites, wobbles, the goose.